Soul. Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards, Hall of Fame, and this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo, and today I have a recent Firebird Book Award winner to share with you. He is Michael Morgan, and the winning book is titled The Power of Networking, Strategies for Career Excellence, Job Development, and Building Greater Triumphs in Your Work. Michael obtained his BS from Penn State University and his MBA from Carnegie Mellon University. Coupled with his educational background, he has over 15 years of work experience across companies such as Amazon, Walmart, JP Morgan Chase, and Chevron. His ability to build and maintain his network throughout his educational and career journey has been fruitful for his success. He has a passion for teaching and inspiring others to achieve their goals, and we have so much to learn from him today. I'm happy to welcome him to the network, Michael.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me as a guest today.
Oh, thank you. And congratulations on winning the Firebird Book Award. I was happy to share that with you.
Thank you. I definitely appreciate it. It's an honor and a privilege.
Oh, thank you. Wow, there's so much to take in here, so we'll see if we can't jam it all in and see what we can cover. Now, Michael, you say that building a successful career transcends mere academic qualifications. It hinges on the power of connections, personal growth, and strategic maneuvering. Now, because our audience is not so much corporate-based, even though many do hold 9-to-5 jobs, most of our listeners are creatives, authors, podcasters, publishers, and others who maybe work with a smaller staff to help promote and market their work. So with that in mind, with our conversation today, maybe we can start out talking about how to build and maintain a network. Because I know we all know that we should be networking, but tell us how to do it, especially virtually.
Yes, absolutely. So first and foremost, whether you're an extrinsic person, an intrinsic person, I would say the biggest part of building your network is you really have to put yourself out there, put yourself in situations where you have the opportunities to meet new connections. That's regardless if you work in corporate or if you don't work in corporate, maybe you're doing your own entrepreneurial route. But there are different ways we can meet people, whether through conferences. I personally love to go to conferences. I go to about 2 to 3 conferences a year, joining different organizations. So currently I'm a part of probably 5 different organizations. I'm a part of National Black MBA Association. I'm a part of Cyversity. I'm a part of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity. I'm a part of Project Management Institute. So I find like-minded individuals that either have the same career passions as me or the same hobbies as me. And I make an effort to go out to different events, be a part of these organizations, meet other individuals. And you never know where a connection may lead to. So that's why it's really important for you to put yourself out there, put yourself in these situations where you get to meet other individuals who can potentially help you in your career goals, help you in your personal life. And networking is a two-way street. You want to provide value as well. You want to offer things to them depending on what may be valuable to them. And, you know, once you make those connections, one of the things that I talk about all the time, it's very easy to make a new connection. It's difficult to maintain that connection. And that's where I think a lot of people struggle, where I try to provide insight and value. And I'm not saying that every connection that you have to speak to every day, every week. But depending on your relationship, you should try to set up some type of cadence, whether that's weekly, monthly, quarterly, semi-annually, annually. But you do want to touch base regularly. I'm a big fan of in-person connections. So nothing can replace in-person. If you can go out and meet someone for coffee, for lunch, for dinner, that in-person connection really goes a long way. But even if you can't meet with someone in person, a phone call, a Zoom call, like these really make a big difference in maintaining connections. What I've seen throughout my career is people will meet someone, they won't talk to them for 5 years, 10 years. They'll realize they work at a company that they want to work for, or they realize they can provide something that will help them in their personal life or their career, and then they'll just reach out of the blue after 10 years. And that's not how networking works. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, you have to put yourself out there in situations where you can meet new connections. But once you make a new connection, you have to put in the effort to regularly maintain and keep in touch with that connection. And that's what's going to be the most fruitful for you.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I look back on many conferences that I have attended, and boy, everybody's all fired up when they're there, and you're making new friends, and as you say, networking the way you should. And then you get back, and it's like, oh my gosh, I have to do this, 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 and this. And before you know it, years pass, and you're not really maintaining those connections. So that, as you say, is the difficult part.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's about maintaining those connections. It's very easy to go to a conference. A conference could have hundreds, if not thousands, of people. You can easily leave a conference and have 10, 20 new contacts. But in my opinion, you just take those contacts and put them in your phone or just add them on social media and never speak to them again. That's not a good connection. Mm-hmm. That's where it becomes very critical for you to maintain that the connection. You're constantly speaking with them on a regular basis, and now that's a valuable contact to have, as opposed to you met someone one time years ago and now you're trying to reach out to them. It's just not the same.
Right. And you mentioned right up front about extrinsic personalities and intrinsic personalities, and a lot of folks who are authors especially, you know, feel that they are more of a intrinsic type of a person, and they feel uncomfortable perhaps going out and meeting people or even promoting their work. What do you say to those folks who hold back from getting out and attending these type of events and meeting people personally?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I would say years ago, I felt as though I was an intrinsic person. So I had to break out of myself. But the more that you put yourself out there, the easier it becomes. One of the things that I talk about all the time is you have to be comfortable with the uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So if I didn't put myself in these situations where I can meet new people and I could build relationships, it would be detrimental to my career. It would be detrimental to my personal life. And the more that I've done it, the more comfortable I've become, and the less I've been afraid. So to your point, I think a lot of people get nervous and get scared when it comes to networking and meeting new people. But, you know, the more that you do it, you realize there's nothing really to be afraid of. This isn't a life and death situation where, you know, something could physically harm you. If you go to a conference, I would say start small. Say you go to a conference and set a goal where I want to make one new connection. And if you put yourself out there and you make that one connection, you realize, oh, it's not that bad. Then set a new goal. Hey, I want to go to another conference and I want to make three connections. Or set another goal. Hey, I want to join an organization and I want to make five connections. And the more that you do it, the easier it becomes, and the less you'll be scared. You'll remove that fear, because the more that you do it, you realize there's nothing to be afraid of. Right. The worst that can happen is you don't make a fruitful connection and you don't stay in touch with that person. That's the worst that can happen. You just have to, the more you do it and it becomes a part of your habit, the easier it becomes.
Right.
But if you stay in your shell and you just continue to be afraid of making that step and making that leap, you'll never be able to move forward.
Right.
So sometimes you just really have to challenge yourself and push yourself. And leverage your friends, leverage your family. You know, use them as a support structure. If you don't feel comfortable going to a conference or joining a new organization, maybe join it with a friend or a family member so you'll feel a little bit more comfortable. where it'll be easier for you to meet somebody because you already have a connection with you as opposed to doing it by yourself. Mm-hmm. And the more that you build up that confidence, then you can slowly start to pivot and go to these events on your own. But you have to break that shell. That's the only way for you to grow. I think it's very important as an individual for you to constantly grow and evolve.
Right.
And that's not going to make you a better person.
Yes. Oh, I think that's brilliant advice to go with a friend or bring somebody with you, because it's kind of like someone at least you could lean on when you're initially feeling a little hesitant. You know, as you were speaking, I was thinking of something else in your book that you talk about is being a good listener. So if you feel that you're somewhat of a shy person, you could still go to an event to meet people, but maybe with the intention is not to be the big talker, but to be a good listener, because very seldom are there people out there who are truly good listeners. And I think that's a very attractive trait when you're meeting people, is if the other person feels that you are really listening to them and hearing them, you will stand out, and you don't have to be a big talker to stand out in a good way.
Yes, absolutely. And I've honestly, throughout my life, I've been told I'm a good listener. Mm-hmm. I love to ask questions and get to know people better. And to your point, I'll have great conversations with people for 30 minutes, for an hour, and I'm not dominating the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I may ask questions here and there, but the other person can potentially be talking for 80% of the time. And to your point, they feel as though I was listening, and they felt heard, and they felt valued.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you don't have to, network doesn't mean you have to dominate the conversation and you have to talk the entire time, or it has to be a 50-50 split. Just being a good listener can go a long way.
Absolutely. I've known people to say, oh, this was a great conversation. And when I look back on it, I might have said 10 words. And I thought, that's not really a conversation, but they come away feeling that it was a good conversation. So listening is quite an important trait, for sure.
Exactly.
Yep. Now, you talk about the need to keep learning.
So a lot of people, from what I've seen in my career, a lot of people, they'll graduate from school and they'll start their careers, whether they're in corporate, whether they're doing an entrepreneurial route. And in their mind, the only way that they're learning is by doing. And naturally, a big part of learning is on-the-job learning, but there are ways that you can learn outside of doing your job. So as an example, I'm constantly searching for different trainings, different certifications that I can obtain. So there are trainings on LinkedIn Learning, there's Udemy, there's Coursera. Throughout my career, I've obtained a ton of certifications. I'm a Lean Sigma Black Belt certification. I have my Project Management Professional certification. I have a Tableau Desktop certification. So I'm always looking, depending on what my role is, depending on what industry I'm in, I'm constantly learning what new skills can I obtain to differentiate myself, to set myself apart, to make myself a better asset for my role, for my company. So there are different trainings that you can take that you can continue to learn. And then in addition to taking trainings, one critical component that I talk about all the time is mentorship, which is another area where you have to really network and put yourself out there to identify mentors. But no one knows everything. I don't know everything, and I never claim that I know everything. But everywhere that I've worked, every school that I've attended, I've obtained mentors who could give me guidance and tell me things, teach me things. Even now in my recent role and my career, I just joined the cybersecurity industry a year ago. So I'm still getting up to speed in cybersecurity. So I have mentors who have been in this industry for 5 years, 10 years, where I'm able to pick their brain and get an understanding of the things that they've seen in the industry, the trends, what they've experienced, so that I'm better able to be a better asset for my company. So whether you're learning from other people, such as mentors, or whether you're taking trainings or reading books. I know I just wrote a book, The Power of Networking, but I also set a goal where I try to read 6 books a year. And I only read business books that will help me become a better person when it comes to working. How do I work more efficiently? How do I handle emails? How do I manage meetings? How do I incorporate emotional intelligence into my day-to-day work? So I'm constantly reading books. I'm attending trainings. I'm obtaining certifications. I'm getting guidance from mentors. So in my opinion, the learning never ends. And the learning isn't just doing my job and learning on the job. There are different ways you can learn outside of doing your job.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about mentors and finding mentors, that at some point you actually can become a mentor to somebody else. And boy, you talk about a powerful way to create relationships with others.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I have mentors. I also mentor the people, so I have mentees.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big proponent of paying it forward. I know I wouldn't be where I am in my career and in my personal life if it wasn't for the help and guidance of mentors, family, friends, colleagues, acquaintances. So now that I'm a little bit more established in my career and in my life, I'd like to pay it forward to other people. So I've mentored people that went to my alma maters, whether Penn State, Carnegie Mellon. I've mentored people at the companies that I've worked for. I've mentored people that are within my network or connected to someone in my network. So, you know, anytime that someone's asking me for help, advice, I'm trying to pay it forward and help them however I can. And as I stated, I still don't know everything, so I'm also seeking mentorship and guidance from others so I can continue to grow and develop and be a better person too.
Right, and that's what it's all about, just becoming the whole person you were supposed to be, and then everything seems to fall in place after that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think personal growth is huge. Over time, you have to grow, you have to evolve, you have to develop. There's always new skill sets to learn. There's always, different perspectives that you'll gain over time through the experiences that you have in your life. So life is all about adapting and growing and evolving.
Right. You talked about pay it forward. You also talk about giving to get. And I think that's a pretty key pillar of networking. So many people just reach out to others to try to receive, but don't give. Talk a little bit about the whole giving to get concept and how we can best do that.
Yes, absolutely. So as I stated, networking is a two-way street. So you have to give to get. So when I make a new connection, I really try to understand what they're looking for, like what are their goals, what are their aspirations. And based off what their interests are, I try to figure out how can I add value to them. So, you know, maybe a connection that I'm looking, I've met, maybe they're looking for a new job opportunity. And whether that's at my company or I have a connection at a company that they're looking for, you know, maybe I can connect them with the right people to help them get land a job interview or help them with some interview preparation. Or maybe similar to me, they're just looking to learn, where maybe I can recommend a book to them or I can recommend an article, or I sign up for a lot of email listservs and maybe I can recommend an email group for them to join where they can get some information, or maybe they just want some type of support structure. And, you know, sometimes they want to vent and share their ideas, and I can be a sounding board and give them recommendations, suggestions. But, you know, whenever I meet a connection, I make sure I ask questions specifically to understand what their goals are, what their aspirations are. And I try to determine what I can do to provide value to them, how I can help them. And I always emphasize where I'm trying to help them as much as possible. I'm not thinking of myself or what my needs are. And because I'm so focused on helping them and their needs, they naturally want to reciprocate the favor. Mm-hmm. They'll say, oh, I appreciate you doing X for me. I appreciate you doing Y for me. What can I do for you? And, you know, at the initial time, maybe I don't need anything from them. And, you know, maybe I'll ask them for something down the line. But because I was so willing to help them up front, mm-hmm. it makes it that much easier to ask for something if and when I need it, as opposed to I make a connection and I'm just asking for something immediately. Like it can be detrimental to a relationship with someone. If I go to a conference, as an example, if I go to a conference and I meet someone, and a week later I reach out to them and I say, "Hey, can you give me a job referral? Can you help me with my resume? Can you help me with this? I just met the person and I'm already asking for things." Mm-hmm. And in a sense, that person may feel used.
Yes.
Whereas if I'm initially offering something and I'm trying to add value and I'm trying to help them, well, now they don't feel used. They feel as though I'm genuinely being a nice person and I'm helping them, and naturally they want to reciprocate the favor. So that's where it is really important, that where you emphasize that give. So that way it's a much stronger relationship, and they will be much more willing to help you in the things that you need in your personal life and in your career.
Right. It's not a short game here. And that makes me think of your strategies for effective networking. You say, be yourself, be prepared, be a good listener, be helpful, and be patient. And I think that be patient part is probably a difficult one.
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, there's some people in my network that I've kept in touch with for 5 years, 10 years. And honestly, I haven't needed anything from them. You know, I've helped them. I've provided them with information, with classes, with interview prep, resume reviews. But it's being patient. You know, there may be people where I never need anything from them, and you know, I'm perfectly fine with that. But if a time comes where I may need their assistance with something, I feel comfortable reaching out to them, because not only have I helped them out, but I've maintained our relationship for multiple years.
Right.
And it'll be much easier to ask for assistance at that point.
Oh, I love this conversation. Thank you for sharing all of this wisdom with us. I have a couple more thoughts. You talk about feedback. That's a good one. How do we ask for feedback? And when we do, how do we deal with it, especially if the feedback is negative? And I'm thinking specifically on like authors, where they get reviews that are, you know, they ask for reviews and they get them and they're not all 5-star. Feedback is a tricky animal.
Yes, absolutely. So there are multiple ways to ask for feedback. Personally, I always like to ask for feedback one-on-one. Whether that's in person, whether that's a phone call, whether that's a Zoom call, because I just feel you can get into a natural discussion. And, you know, if someone gives me feedback, I can ask follow-up questions and really dive into some of the areas where I may need to improve, some of my weaknesses. And that's where it gets easier, when it's a one-on-one conversation. But if you're asking for feedback, let's say from a group of colleagues, you're reaching out to 10 people, or you're an author and you're reaching out to hundreds of readers and trying to get feedback, it's hard to have that one-on-one interaction. So you can use things, mechanisms such as surveys or focus groups, where you can get feedback from multiple people all at the same time. Surveys can be a little hit and miss, because sometimes you can send a survey out to 100 people and you may only get responses from 10 people. And even with a survey, they can rate you on a scale of 1 to 5, or they can answer yes, no questions, but they may not dive into the details and give you the level of depth and feedback that you're looking for. Feedback is helpful in any mechanism that you receive it, whether it's a survey or focus group or one-on-one conversation. But I always ask feedback whenever possible, whether it's through my job, whether it's me being an author, whether it's me being a speaker. But that's how I grow. That's how I develop. I may have a perception in my mind of how I'm performing at work, or how good my book is, or how good I am as a motivational speaker. But I don't speak for everybody. Everyone has different perspectives on me. So it is good to get outside perspectives, and that way I can make corrections and grow and develop. And then as far as receiving feedback, I'd say the top thing that I always tell people, don't take things personally. when someone's giving you feedback, they're not doing it to hurt you or bash you or make you feel bad. They're doing it to help you. They're giving you this feedback so you can grow and you can improve. So you have to look at it objectively, where they're trying to guide you and help you grow and develop and be a better person, and they're not personally attacking you when they're providing you with this feedback. So I would say that's very helpful when it comes to receiving feedback. And then the last point that I would make regarding feedback, what I like to do when I'm giving other people feedback, I do what I call a feedback sandwich, where I will start off with something good that I'm giving as far as positive feedback. I will sandwich in negative feedback in the middle, and then I'll end with something positive. So as an example, if I'm talking to a coworker and I feel as though they're struggling with their presentation skills, I may start off and tell them, hey, you do good work. I love your ideas. You know, you're thinking outside the box. You're very strategic. But I think you can improve on your presentation skills. Maybe you can join an organization such as Toastmaster, where you can work on presenting and speaking in front of people. Ultimately, I do think you're a strong employee and you have great potential, and I enjoy working with you. I think that this would help take you to the next level. Mm-hmm. So this way, I'm giving them constructive feedback. Not only am I giving them feedback, I'm giving them a call to action. I'm telling them to go to Toastmasters, but I'm sandwiching in the fact that I want them to improve their presentation skills between good feedback that I'm giving them, mm-hmm. so that the feedback doesn't come off as harsh.
Oh, I love that. A feedback sandwich. My gosh, that's excellent. I'm going to remember that and use it. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So why did you decide to write this book? I mean, you're so successful in all that you do. What prompted you to say, hey, I'm going to put this in a book form?
Throughout my career, friends, family, colleagues, acquaintances, they've reached out to me for advice, for knowledge, toolage to help them. And I help out as many people as I can, but I'm only one person. I can only take so many phone calls and Zoom meetings and meet with so many people in person. So at a certain point in time, I felt as though I have a breadth of knowledge that people are looking for. So I decided to put pen to paper and write down my advice and guidance in hopes that I could reach the masses. It's something that's important to me. As I said, I've had a lot of people help and guide me throughout my life, throughout my career, and I enjoy helping other people. And I felt as though writing a book can help get my knowledge, toolage out to the masses and help even more people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am happy that you did so. Any new books on the horizon?
No, as of right now, I'm still focused on my first book, The Power of Networking.
Yep.
But I would say probably in the next year or two, I'll start contemplating writing the next book.
Well, good. We will keep an eye out for that. All right, Michael, so much valuable, valuable insights today. Anything we missed that you wanted to talk about today?
The only other thing that I would bring up is I'm doing speaking engagements. So if anyone has any opportunities where they think I might bring value to their company or organization or university, I'm currently speaking with a couple of different companies and schools about speaking to them. So I'm available for speaking engagements. My website is michaelvmorgan.com. That's V as in Victor, michaelvmorgan.com. You can feel free to go on my website and they'll have my contact information on there. And I hope all the readers enjoy the book. They find value in it. And hopefully I'll be able to speak to people soon.
Oh, I hope so. Yes. I would go to any event that you were speaking at. You've captivated me and my ears. I would definitely show up. So we're talking with Michael Morgan. The book is titled The Power of Networking: Strategies for Career Excellence, Job Development, and Building Greater Triumphs in Your Work. You're just a champion at this. I am just thrilled at this conversation today, and I look forward to keeping in touch with you. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing you with us today.
Oh, thank you. As I said, it's a pleasure and honor to be on your show. So I appreciate you having me as a guest.